A knock at the door on an ordinary Tuesday afternoon. Eilish Stack, still in her lab coat from her work as a molecular biologist, opens it to find two plainclothes officers asking for her husband Larry, a teacher and union activist. They leave a cream-colored card requesting he call at his earliest convenience. This seemingly mundane interaction carries an undercurrent of menace that will soon engulf their lives. When Larry visits the police station that evening, Detective Inspector Stamp presents him with allegations of sedition under the newly enacted Emergency Powers Act. Despite Larry's protests that he's merely fulfilling his role as a trade unionist, the message is clear. He's being watched. What makes this scenario particularly chilling is how ordinary it feels. The Stack family could be any middle-class household, with everyday concerns about children's swimming lessons and household routines. The contrast between domestic normalcy and encroaching totalitarianism creates an unbearable tension. How many of us would recognize the warning signs if they appeared in such mundane packaging? Would we speak up or tell ourselves it's safer to stay quiet? Authoritarianism doesn't arrive wearing jackboots. It comes with a polite smile and an official business card. When Larry joins a constitutional rights march, police violently disperse protesters and detain him. Eilish lies to their children about his absence as civil liberties deteriorate. The government arrests journalists, controls media, and suspends habeas corpus. Eilish discovers her children are deemed security risks when applying for passports. After 9 years as a senior manager, she's suddenly dismissed. Her solicitor encounters obstacles investigating Larry's whereabouts. Her assistant has vanished with no information about his location. "What I see now is a black hole opening before us," she says. The novel reveals how quickly democratic institutions collapse when emergency powers override constitutional protections. State violence becomes normalized through bureaucratic channels, official meetings, letterheads, and cordial yet threatening conversations, making it particularly insidious. How fragile are our democratic systems? What invisible lines must be crossed before authoritarianism becomes recognizable? As oppression infiltrates daily life, social bonds dissolve with shocking speed. At the butcher shop, Patty Pigeon deliberately ignores Eilish, serving others who arrived after her, a small humiliation revealing fraying community ties. At her cousin's wedding, Eilish remains seated during the anthem and ties a white scarf around her neck as resistance, drawing disapproving glances that expose the personal cost of small rebellions. The transformation of familiar faces into regime supporters proves especially disturbing. Rory O'Connor, once a jovial neighbor, now sports a party pin. At work, a new director implements mandatory political education and loyalty pledges. These details create a suffocating atmosphere of mounting restrictions. Yet people attempt normalcy. Eilish continues preparing meals and helping with homework even as her world collapses. Would we recognize when small concessions become moral capitulation? These questions deserve consideration before crisis arrives, when fear clouds clear thinking. Eilish wakes to a hammering fury as smoke drifts over suburbs and helicopter gunships hover nearby. She feels oddly calm, as if witnessing something she's been waiting for her entire life, joining countless others who have watched war approach their homes. Outside, ATMs are broken, shops closed or price gouging, and streets transformed. A soldier at a nearby checkpoint warns, "This is a war zone," ordering her home. War reshapes their existence. Constant gunfire, shelling that rattles the house, and smoke across the city. Electricity flickers as they attempt normalcy. Bailey watching TV when possible, Molly refusing to leave bed, and Eilish caring for them while worrying about her unreachable husband and son. The family moves mattresses downstairs amid explosions. Military bombs fall. Baby Ben suffers teething pain while Eilish's hair falls out from stress. These scenes evoke contemporary conflicts, showing war isn't a distant abstraction but reality for millions. By placing this horror in Western Europe, we're challenged to abandon the notion that it couldn't happen here. As external pressures mount, the Stack family fractures. Mark, the eldest son, grows distant and joins rebel forces. Eilish discovers execution videos in his search history before watching him leave with strangers in an unfamiliar car. Bailey, her younger son, starts wetting the bed and acting out. After Eilish sells their car, he erupts, "This family is a joke. I wish I never had you for a mother." Their tearful reconciliation reveals his struggle between vulnerability and toughness in this harsh new world. Molly withdraws into depression, refusing to leave bed. When forced into a cold shower, she confesses she feels her father dying inside her heart, showing how children internalize political violence as personal loss. The novel climaxes when an explosion rocks their neighborhood. Eilish finds Bailey helping civil defense workers but discovers shrapnel in his skull. Her journey for medical care becomes a harrowing odyssey through a war zone, only to return the next day to find Bailey mysteriously transferred, effectively disappeared. The final sections follow Eilish fleeing with her remaining children. They join others walking toward the border, paying for minibus transport, only to face checkpoints demanding exit taxes. At the British checkpoint, an official demands money for Ben's passport and implies wanting time alone with Molly. Eilish sacrifices all her remaining money to protect her daughter. After crossing, they avoid registration, following a man promising rescue from Limbo Land. During a stop, Eilish cuts both her and Molly's hair short for protection. They're taken to an abandoned factory where the gaffer locks them in a crowded room with barred windows, enduring days in squalid conditions. The novel ends on a beach with inflatable boats and few life vests. Despite Molly's pleas, Eilish looks to the horizon, saying, "To the sea, we must go to the sea. The sea is life." This section powerfully reverses perspective by placing a European family in circumstances typically associated with refugees from the global south, revealing all humans' vulnerability to political violence. This story devastates through its unflinching portrayal of political collapse, destroying individual lives. Simon, Eilish's father, embodies this destruction as his mind deteriorates with the crisis. When visiting, she finds him transformed, bearded in a disordered house. Later, he calls in panic about his long-dead wife, asking, "Where does all our love go when once we held it beating in our hand?" A question echoing throughout the narrative. The psychological toll manifests physically in everyone. Eilish lives in perpetual tension, shoulders hunched, hair falling out. She dreams of Larry, hollow-cheeked and prematurely aged. Yet tenderness emerges amid horror. When Eilish shaves her father's beard as he rambles incoherently, she responds by stitching his vital information into his coat lapel. This story warns of democratic fragility and rapid societal collapse. Its disturbing plausibility stems from control mechanisms that exist worldwide today. Setting this in Ireland challenges the assumption that it couldn't happen here. The novel prompts us to protect democratic institutions through small daily choices that preserve shared values and human connections.